sports, politics, life. 360 Document Solutions presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at 360documentsolutions.com.
So everybody's all fired up over the new budget and the debt ceiling deal and the passing through the House of Representatives. And of course, our congressmen and women on the far right are complaining about Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House. We knew a lot of this would be coming. We saw the battle for him to be confirmed as Speaker. And now they say they're going to start perhaps as early as next week trying to get Kevin McCarthy out as the Speaker of the House for agreeing to this deal with Joe Biden, which clearly Democrats seem to be a lot happier with than Republicans. There is no doubt about that. As you know, the GOP only controls one of the three branches here, and that is the House of Representatives. They really don't control anything in the Senate with a vote. They'll try to get some amendments or some things passed through the Senate and alter this deal in some way. Joe Biden is not a popular president, so the real leverage here was deadlines, it was things down the road. What would the American public think if we didn't get a deal done, if we defaulted, if one of these so-called disastrous things happened and we had to shut the government down and close offices? Who would the American people blame? And to me, that's an easy answer. They were going to blame Joe Biden. I just don't think there's any question they were going to blame Joe Biden on this thing. So I think there is a giant missed opportunity of leverage here. And this could have been a much better deal. I don't disagree with any of that. And I'm disappointed in what Kevin McCarthy has agreed to. And if I were in Mark Alford's spot, for example, or congressman from across the state line in Missouri, he's voted no. Mark Alford gave a great quote as to why he voted no on this debt ceiling deal. He said, if Washington likes it, I'm always voting no. He says, I got to vote for things that work in Missouri. And he's exactly right. I think that's a pretty good way to go into almost anything. If Washington likes something, the answer is no. It's not good for America. There's no reason to believe that anything so many people in Washington agree on is good for America. It makes no sense. What you know is it's good for them, that it's expedient for them to either get reelected or it funnels money into their district. It has something porky attached to it that they can go back home and say, I got you this. Look at this shiny little thing. Stare at this shiny little piece of jewelry. That's what it's all about. And Mark Alford has nailed it here. Washington likes it. I'm going to vote no. And he's voted no. And I would have voted no too. I would have. And I don't like this deal. But I got to tell you, this is not the hill I'm dying on. To me, this is bad, but my expectations are so low. When you have a slim margin in the House, you have no margin in the Senate, and the president is a Democrat, I just have low expectations. And I do see a win here. The win here is, last November, we got the House of Representatives back, and it is a slim margin. There just isn't much leverage to be had there with the slim margin, and only one of the three needed to pass something. And I'm sorry, this is so much better than if we hadn't won the House. Sometimes we have to look back at November and say, okay, we won the House. What would this look like if the Democrats were in control still of all three? How bad would this be? What damage to the economy? What kind of insane spending would we be talking about? There is some good here. There is some good. There's nothing great here. There is nothing great. And there's nothing as good as what you wanted. And it does appear that McCarthy had a lot more leverage than he either knew or that we benefited from. And I'm not happy with him. I'm not happy with him. But I tell you, and this will disappoint you, my bar is really low. My expectation is really low. I always saw the last election as a chance to slow the Democrats down. That's it. Not stop them. Okay? You got to win the power is in the White House. Let's be honest. We've gotten to where executive orders and whatever wants to be done by a president. Presidents are now just going out and doing and say, take me to court, drag it out for years, see if you can stop me. And if a court rules something, they'll stop whatever the executive order is. This is where we are now. We're getting closer and closer and closer to being a dictatorship and not a democracy, where whoever's in the White House matters most. There's never been a more important time for a president in this country. You're just getting more and more done, and we have the apparatus is just so gargantuan that it takes forever to stop a president from working something through. I mean, look, Biden's been in office now for what, almost three quarters of his term or two thirds of his term. He's been in office. And we're breaking every immigration law there is. And judges everywhere in Texas, Louisiana, throughout the South, in some cases, there was, I think, even one in upstate New York. There are judges everywhere ruling that what we're doing is against the law. But it doesn't stop anything. The courts will say, yes, the Biden policy is, we see what the law, we see what immigration law is, and we're not upholding it. But until you apparently get something to the Supreme Court or pass a new law or get a different president in, there doesn't seem to be any way to stop anything. And this is the frustration of the American people. The American people know that we have laws around this stuff. They see things where we don't have a law, and it is mind-boggling to the American people, those that are in the know and watch. There's a lot of silly, non-serious people out there that you can ask things about and they have no clue. But if you ask them the question, should our government spend more money than it has, I think we'd be looking at 80% of respondents saying, no, that's a bad idea. Should we allow the federal government to spend more money than it has? I think most Americans would say no. Right? That's what's going on here. And the serious question underneath it all is, why don't we have a balanced budget amendment? Why isn't this in the Constitution? The federal government, except for in the case of war, time of emergency, natural, whatever it may be, we could put a couple of exceptions in there. The federal government shall not spend more money than it takes in. That's it. Then if what the Democrats want to do is just go run on raising your taxes and taking more money from you, let them go run on that. This is their end around. This is the way they spend trillions of dollars more than they collect. If they come to you and raise your taxes significantly, and you know it's the Democrats doing that, they will get thrown out. This is their way of doing everything they want to do without taxing the voters more, although they're not afraid to tax voters more. But we're talking about trillions of dollars here that would be significant tax increases that people would feel every month in their monthly bills and would blame the Democrats for. They win twice. They don't have to hurt you with more taxes, and they get to spend the money they want on their stupid programs like the Green New Deal. Yes, it's disappointing. Yes, I'm upset. Again, not the hill I'm dying on. But mainly, I just come from a perspective of my expectation of just having the House of Representatives versus Joe Biden in the Senate is so low. I certainly couldn't do the limbo under that bar. That bar is so low, I got no chance of limboing under that thing. I don't think I could get down on my front, on my hands and knees and crawl under it. That bar is so low. I think it would take like a garden variety earthworm to crawl under that bar. It's so low. And that may disappoint you, but I'm going to assume you're the same way. I just think we're optimists and we thought, okay, we've got the House, we're going to do better. I do think that is reasonable for people to think that, but I've never thought that. We need the whole thing for 2 years, and we need the game plan going in to know exactly what we need to do and do it. And it needs to be far right. All right, when we go, these rhinos got to come along for the ride. They have to. They absolutely have to. If we get this thing in 24, if we get Trump or DeSantis in the White House, we're going to get the Senate. I just don't doubt that at all. The maps and the math on the Senate are phenomenal. The Senate, win the White House, Biden's a terrible candidate running for re-election, and somehow hold the House, then these McCarthys and some of these other people in the center, we got to move them right for 2 years. They have got to go along with Trump or DeSantis. Whatever that president says, that will be a mandate from the American people. Go do it. Get it done. Write the laws. Pass the laws. Change everything fundamentally. There's got to be a way to write laws on balancing the budget. If we can't get a constitutional amendment because Democrats won't go along and the threshold for something like that is a much higher vote, we've got to find ways to pass laws that are meaningful, that are rock solid, and it takes care of this country fiscally. We cannot keep doing what we're doing. We've been hearing this for a long time, and we've gone along. We've been through good times and bad times and whatever. My goodness, can you imagine what kind of an economic machine the United States of America would be if it were running like so many states, which actually have a surplus? We have states in this country that have surpluses. They're almost all conservative. Kansas and Missouri have been flush with cash for how many years? Run by their very conservative legislatures. These two states have done great and have a surplus of money. I heard Ron DeSantis say something I thought was misleading in a speech the other night. He said at however much money it was, $3 billion or whatever, we have the second smallest deficit of any state in America. I was surprised to hear Ron DeSantis say that, because that's admitting that his state is at a deficit right now. And there may be reasons for that that predate DeSantis. But I didn't like hearing that at all. I know states where there is no deficit, where they're taking in more money than they're spending, and have had years in the past few years where there's a surplus. And some of this has been federal help. There was federal COVID money. There were things that came along in other ways, but that doesn't matter. The states are still running in some cases where they have cash surplus. That's the way you want to do it. Then you start the discussion of how do we give some of this money back to our residents, our citizens? Things like taking away sales tax from groceries. You go spend $100 on groceries, you don't have to pay the 8% sales tax. That's a great way to give money back to the American people or to the people of Kansas or Missouri. That's a great way to do it. But you can only do those things when you have more money than you needed. And I fundamentally don't understand why we can't have a balanced budget in the United States. And certainly there would be times of exception. If we get into a war, if there's a pandemic, if, you know, some of these things that we see that we have to have it, I get it, emergency spending. But day in and day out, don't just sit there, run your government at a deficit, which is what we do. If we got to let some people go, let them go. They'll get hired. Everybody's looking for good workers. Fire some government employees. Let's clean it out. Let's go. It is go time on this thing. I just love what Mark Alford said. I thought it was a very, very Missouri, almost rural Missouri, simple thing for him to say that anybody can understand. That just sums it up beautifully. That's why we love Mark Alford here. If Washington likes it, I will vote no. That's just beautiful. That's fantastic. I'm all with him. 53% of Americans think Joe Biden and his family are corrupt and on the take. John Kirby, the Pentagon spokesman yesterday, was having a news conference, and a reporter asked a question about this polling that shows 53% of Americans. That's a big number. Now remember, there's always like 20-some percent built in that don't know or don't have an answer. So it's like a 20-point differential. People think Biden is a crook, corrupt, with his son, who has now had 10,000 more photos released to the internet from his laptop. There's a website, I think it's called BidenLaptopMedia.com, that is going to be putting these out. There's more pictures of nudity where they're going to cover it over black. There's some things that they'll sort of redact. His Social Security number, bank account numbers, things like that. They're going to redact those numbers. But they've got it all. 10,000 more photos coming out. It's just getting worse and worse for the Biden family. And 53% of Americans think Joe Biden and his family are corrupt. And John Kirby is asked about this. And he stands there stunned at the podium. And here's why. He was an admiral in the Navy, right? And these people are in such control and such power that he is literally standing there in disbelief that he's being asked about this. They're in a place on the left where they just believe they can have news conferences and nobody is going to challenge them about anything. So this dude asked the question. He starts rattling off, there's been money in Ukraine and Mexico and different places like that. And we've seen all this, and we've got a whistleblower, and 53% of Americans think Biden is corrupt. You know, do you think he's corrupt? Or what do you think of the American people believe he's corrupt. Do you agree with them? Was basically the way he framed the question. And John Kirby has no way out on this thing. And he's hanging his head and he pauses. You've probably seen it. And Kirby says, well, the president has spoken to this. Basically says there's nothing to it. The president has spoken to this and gives no answer. While the question is being asked, one reporter can be heard going, Jesus, that's a liberal reporter. Other reporters can be heard laughing at the question. John Kirby didn't laugh at it. And there is one giant given, a fact. This is non-negotiable. It's an absolute. That's the word I'm looking for. There is one absolute about finding the truth when you're asking somebody. It doesn't matter what you're asking about. You'd be asking about parking tickets in municipal court. You can be talking to a coach about a player on his team in trouble. You can be talking to a spokesperson at the Pentagon for the President of the United States. It doesn't matter. They're all the same. When you ask somebody something and they pause and they try to discredit you by just the look on their face and then don't answer the question, you found the truth. You found it. It is an absolute. It feels weird. I've been many times I've asked these questions. I used to go round and round with Gunther Cunningham about two-point conversions. He simply did not understand them. He was like the last guy that wanted a chart. Like, how come you're not using a chart? You don't seem to, you know, I was asking these questions and he would hang his head and he'd be confused and he'd just be like, I just want to talk about defensive players hitting the quarterback. That's all he wanted to talk about. He wasn't worried about the two-point conversion or the nuances of the game. And the point I had made through the years was, you know, here's a non-serious coach that's getting out-coached in games by other coaches that just disregards the question. It created a stir in-house. They eventually got him a chart, which he didn't read properly or didn't have somebody properly read for him. But you know when you've hit it. You know when you strike gold with a question. That happened. That happened on Wednesday. John Kirby was speechless at the podium. About 53% of Americans thinking Joe Biden and his family are corrupt because John Kirby knows they're corrupt. And they may just, look, their idea of corruption and ours are two different things. The Biden family believes this is their right. They don't see it as corruption. He looks at it like, I've been a senator all these years. I've been in D.C. I've done all these things, and I don't really get paid for that. The money isn't that good being a senator. So he's made money from lobbyists, investments, and yes, things that we would call corruption. You can't peddle this stuff for favor within the government. That's the problem. The Bidens all day long, I guess, could do deals in Ukraine and China and strike deals and make money as long as it's not changing what their policy is or things that they're directing inside our government. That is just, that's treason. It's against the law. That is the true definition of corruption and fraud. And there's no question the Bidens have done this. There's just no question. But I'm telling you, you get around these people in power, and they have it, and it fuels them every single day, and they don't believe that law applies to them. And I'm promising you, the Biden family believes that Joe has served for so long for this country, and in their mind has done so many great things for America that he deserves every nickel. Whether it's selling out your soul or selling out your country or not, they don't see it as breaking the law in their case. They think they're above that. They believe that they have done something so great for America that they're above that. KKHI is brought to you by 360 Document Solutions, your copier and printer source in Kansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma. Look, this is really simple. Let me tell you something, a short little story about 360 Document Solutions. Many of you have computers, printers, copiers, you know, voiceover, IP, maybe, you know, 10 phones in your office or things like that. You have these things in your office and you're dealing with a big name company, somebody whose company name is on the computer. I don't want to call any of them out, but you know who they are. And it's nice. They have a sales rep in the area where you live and they'll come to you and they'll sell you this equipment, but then they sell it to you and they're gone. There is no customer service. If you try to call when something breaks or you need help, you're on the phone in India or Guatemala, and you can't understand what the hell is going on the phone. There's nobody to talk to. I'm telling you, half these people, and if this is what you're doing, you've been unhappy. There are service agreements. Like, you know, there is no service agreement. You're expected to, what, change the paper in your copier at work. Okay, I get it. Maybe put some toner in there. Okay, sure. What about drums and rollers? Do you know how to do that? No, these big companies leave you in the lurch. National brand companies are not the way to go. Mark and his team at 360 Document Solutions have their own service team. They take care of everything from start to finish, and they will save you money. I cannot emphasize this enough. Stop doing business with these mega corporations that put you on the phone with a customer service person in India. Just stop. You're going to have somebody right here in Kansas, Missouri, or Oklahoma, and they will come right to you. These are perfect for churches, schools, all kinds of different businesses, car dealers, manufacturing, hotels, funeral homes, construction companies, apartment complexes, anybody that has copiers or printers. 360 Document Solutions is a must. There's really no competition. There's nobody else locally that will do this. There are not a lot of companies that will do what 360 Document Solutions will do. Mark demands customer satisfaction by demanding his staff take care of you. Call for that free analysis. If you've had service problems, headaches, or you think you're overpaying with these machines in your office, just give 360 a chance to come in and meet with you and discuss your situation, take a look at what they can maybe save you, and know that they're there for you when your stuff breaks down. 360documentsolutions.com or call Mark 913-745-5344. That's 913-745-5344. And I'm not trying to bash the national brands, but folks, there is no service attached to those companies. If that's the way you're leasing your machines in your office, there's just no service there. They've got sales reps everywhere. But then when something happens, you're stuck. Yeah, call this 800 number. And you're on the phone and you can't figure out what the heck is going on and you've got no solution. Don't do that. 360 Document will solve that. How'd you like to win a brand new television from B-Stock? B-Stock is giving away a 4K 70-inch Samsung for the 4th of July. That's right. The 4th of July 4K giveaway at bstock.net. Here's how it works. If you go to bstock.net, there's not going to be a lot of entries here, folks. There aren't. We're not doing this online. It's not a gazillion of you. You got to go to the warehouse. You got to go to the store in Olathe. If you visit B-Stock in the month of June, everybody gets one free entry. Your first entry is free. Then you get more entries if you buy something. For every $250 spent, you get another entry into the drawing. They're giving away a 4K TU7000 Samsung 70-inch TV. That is awesome. If you want to sign up absolutely free, no purchase necessary, visit bstock.net at 14680 South Flaming Road. Also, for Father's Day, nobody undercuts B-Stock when it comes to Sonos. This is the gift Dad likes. The Sonos sound system in your home is insane. Right now, 20% off between now and Father's Day. They're already priced that's lower than everybody else. 20% off Sonos at bstock.net. And Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC is the home of the lifetime warranty, and they've got some 0% financing available. Right now, they've got great deals and lots of inventory on Chevy Silverados and GMC Sierras. You can get 0.9% financing on GMC Sierra, 1.9% financing on Chevy Silverado. Yeah, there's even $500 cash back for military service and all kinds of other great incentives right now at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. Remember, this is the free lifetime powertrain warranty on all new vehicles. It's only available at a handful of dealerships anywhere, but Roberts Robinson has it. Don't settle for the three-year warranty when you can get the lifetime warranty at robertsrobinson.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Okay, Tucker Carlson's no longer on the air, but he used to have a guest on talking about the Ukraine war quite frequently. He's retired General Douglas MacGregor. And MacGregor was on a podcast this week and is the only person that I hear talking really honestly about the war in Ukraine. And I know this is a heavy subject, and I'm going to play for you a clip here that's about 2 minutes long. It's longer than most clips that we play. But this guy this is a dire warning of something that we're not, you know, again, Joe Biden, the Democrats always like to dangle something shiny in front of you. So you're not paying attention to something that's really important. Is the debt debate a bigger deal than drawing us into World War III? No, it is not. Drawing us into World War III is the end-all, be-all thing to avoid. MacGregor's on this podcast with Judge Napolitano or somebody, and he says, we've just announced this week that we've sent these new missiles to Ukraine that fly 200 miles. Well, there's two reasons for that. A, they can fly into Russia. B, as the Ukrainians are retreating, they can still hit targets in Ukraine. And he He says we've basically escalated at every turn. He'll explain this here. But the crux of all this is that Vladimir Putin now is so mad at the United States that he will not negotiate. He's asked apparently several times, hey, let's negotiate this thing out. Give us the first 100 miles of Ukraine. I'll get the Donbass region back and some of these other things, and I'll be happy with that. But that was never good enough for Joe Biden. Never good enough. And now Putin has dug in, according to this general, that he won't stop now. He wants the entire country of Ukraine. They're going to push all the way to the Polish border and do that. At the same time, before I play this clip, we have a report from an outfit called Millennia News in Mexico that shows video of Gulf cartel members in Matamoros with Javelin missiles. We sent thousands of missiles to Ukraine, Javelin missiles. They cost between about $30,000 and $60,000 each. These you can launch from the truck or, you know, they're ground. They don't fly far. They're tank destroyers. They're incredible weapons for a drug cartel because you could just hit somebody's house or whatever. And so they're shorter range, the Javelin missiles. They cost about $30,000 to $60,000 each. They're pretty amazing missiles. And now we sent all these things to Ukraine, and they're showing up with drug cartels in Mexico. This is a war gone wrong. This is a support from the United States gone way wrong. This is a disaster for America. We are in a terrible thing. While we feel bad for the Ukrainian people, we don't believe that Putin should have gone in and challenged their sovereignty and done these things. There's not much we can do about it. It's really a regional conflict. It's really truly what it is. And now we know through all of the spending, all of the waste, all the things we do, that we can never keep track of it all. And apparently we haven't. We're seeing missiles now with the Gulf cartel in Mexico. General Douglas MacGregor is on the podcast warning everyone that at every turn, this thing is getting, it's escalating higher and higher and higher. And he believes our policy is provoking this.
I think this is very serious. And I think that it's a response to us. Every time the Russians have evinced any interest in a negotiation of any kind, we've refused it categorically. We've presented ultimatum after ultimatum and insisted that unless the Russians pull out of Ukraine completely, not just Ukraine, but the new borders from 1957, which were never Ukrainian, and then ultimately humiliate themselves and bow down and beg for forgiveness, there can be no peace. I think Putin and his colleagues have finally come around to understanding this reality. I don't think they wanted to believe it. It's true. So if it is true, and you take, for instance, the recent announcement where President Biden said, well, we should send the Ukrainians ATACMS. These are the Army Tactical Missile System.
Right.
That reaches out 200 miles, still delivers a relatively small warhead, but it's nonetheless a good-sized warhead that can do a lot of damage. We said from the beginning that we were not going to provide these kinds of long-range strike weapons to the Ukrainians. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to do it. If you are a Russian and you're listening to this and watching this, you reach the inevitable conclusion that we are escalating. Every time we make an announcement, every time Biden speaks, the war escalates. Remember, if you go back to the beginning, we're not sending tanks. We're not going to send any aircraft. Whatever we do send is going to be for defensive purposes. All of that is gone, and everything now is one-upsmanship. We're going to send F-16s. Of course, the F-16 is useless without AWACS and a significant ground infrastructure, but you know, suddenly we're going to send F-16s. Pretty soon somebody's going to say, send F-15s, I suppose. And oh, by the way, now we're going to send ATACMS that reach out 200 miles. And Putin has said, well, you know, if you listen to his comments just within the last 24 hours where he talked about the recent strike on the military intelligence headquarters in Kiev, that was struck, I think, either by an Iskander missile, tactical ballistic missile, or Kinshaw missile, killed large numbers of people, destroyed the entire headquarters, and I think it killed probably several NATO officers, about which we're hearing nothing. And that's something we should hear about. We should know the truth. If Americans are dying over there, along with Frenchmen and British and other officers, then for God's sakes, tell us. But they're not going to, obviously. But Putin has said, well, we've often talked in the past about hitting the quote-unquote decision centers. Well, now they will.
Well, there's not much there that I can argue with. That's General Douglas MacGregor. Did I say MacArthur one time? I did not. Did I? Did I not? Douglas MacGregor. And he's given a very stern warning to the American people, if anybody is willing to listen. He had a nice audience when he was on Tucker, but that's gone. And I don't think Fox wants to have him on anymore. They like to have on. Fox is getting really rhino. If you're watching that coverage, you're seeing it. It's getting really, really rhino-ish. They got a lot of people on there supporting the debt deal, supporting Ukraine. Lindsey Graham goes on with Sean Hannity all the time. Lindsey Graham's every bit as bad here as Joe Biden. This is a bipartisan issue. This isn't just Biden. There's all kinds of people. And again, go back to what Mark Alford said. If Washington likes it, I'm voting no. Washington loves the war in Ukraine. There is really no reason for you and I to like the war in Ukraine. But all these people who make their money in Washington, D.C., in the richest zip codes in America, the wealthiest people that we have, our ruling class, they love it. I think we know the reason why. It's money. They're not worried about dying. If they've got family or children in the military, they'll keep them out of harm's way. They're just not worried about that. We know how they are, and that is stark. I don't know if you thought about that as hard as I have. That was unbelievable hearing that man talk. Really something else. Commercial real estate's in real trouble. I think everybody can see that. I went into a Staples yesterday in Overland Park, up by Oak Park Mall. I needed a couple of things. I had to go pick up. I don't even remember what the urgent most. I needed a planner. I'm old school. I keep a planner on my desk, but it's a small one. And I just like having the book. I like being able to access the book and seeing it at all times when I have appointments and things like that. I don't have nearly as many appointments as I used to. And I kind of like it. So I just need a smaller planner. I went up and got it, and I picked up some pens and some other things. I got a little file thing that I keep the envelopes in here on my desk. I found a couple of things. I kind of liked it. I kind of like going to Staples. I like going to the store and getting something. I'm going to get a new suit to wear to my son's wedding this fall. I'm not going to order that online. I don't order much online. I could. I should. I should do a little more that way. I just don't. I will. I'll change. I'll get there. I'm sure I'll do more and more of it. Jessica orders all kinds of stuff on there. But I'm at the Staples, and I'm looking at this, and because I'm looking at the planners, I'm looking for one that's a 2324, because I got my first planner for KKHI. We started up in August. So the one I bought was July through June of the next year. So I've never been on the actual calendar year. They make these things 6 months at a, well, they're 12 months at a time, but they come out every 6 months. I was shocked to see 2024 planners already on the shelves that don't start until January. And they had more of those than anything else. Then upon checkout, I see a sign that says, this store is closing July 14th. I thought, what? We know commercial real estate and retail are struggling, brick and mortar. But my God, how poorly are some of these companies run? So they ordered into a store dozens of these planners. Some of them are $40 and $50 each. Dozens of them into this store. Planners that start in January and they're closing in July. What are they going to do with them all? They're not selling any of those. So yes, commercial state real estate's in real trouble. I don't think anybody questions that. There are more and more people going back to work. I think the workplace may survive. I think the office spaces may survive and we maybe get back to normal. But the actual retail thing, this is something that I believe that I don't have any reason to believe this, but I think the Democrats love it. I think they love breaking down commercial real estate. They love people shopping online, staying at home, right? Feeling like they shouldn't go out. Be scared, stay home, don't interact. We can track you from your computer and the things you buy. This sounds like a very Democrat thing to me. It just does. It just does. Instinctively to me. And I could be totally wrong. But look at the benefits the Democrats have of people who stay home. Look what happened during COVID. You stay home, you be scared. We got you covered. You can vote by mail. Buy things and we'll track your computer. It just sounds very Democrat to me. So commercial real estate is in trouble and everybody agrees on this. But the big debate now is about the housing situation. Elon Musk is warning that housing is going to crash, that it's in real trouble, that it will just follow what's happened with commercial real estate. I didn't quite follow the logic of tying together commercial real estate and housing. I felt like if more people are working from home than going to an office, that would be good for housing. People want bigger houses or an office in their house or whatever. Musk thinks we're headed off a cliff again with housing. Barbara Corcoran is one of the, she's the lady on Shark Tank, the TV show. And she says just the opposite. She says commercial real estate's just cooked. It's going off a cliff. And she's been in that business. She's like, this is a train wreck like we've never seen. But the housing is going to go bonkers again. That it not only the value of your home has gone up, it's going to go way up. She says there will not only be no volatility in housing, there's going to be an insane recovery. As soon as the rate, because it's all bogged down right now. There's no inventory. Nobody wants to leave. Nobody's moving around. Nobody wants to borrow money at these interest rates. So it's all locked down. That's what it was designed to do. When they raised the rates, they wanted to, turn off the spigot of housing flow. And they did. And so we're kind of stuck in a rut. Prices have remained high because there's no inventory. She says there's not much inventory out there. And the building of new homes has been okay and whatnot. But when the rates start coming down, and they will before the election, the rates will come down. This has been the plan all along. They're going to lower these rates and housing's going to go bonkers next year. During the election year, rates are going to start coming down, down, down. And as they do, people are going to see 4% as a real bargain compared to almost 7% right now. And people are going to buy. She thinks housing prices could go up 20% in many areas next year. I've never seen two smarter people so completely different than Elon Musk and Barbara Corcoran on what they think is going to happen with housing. I know this. I'm not joining AARP. Are you an AARP? I'm not. I think you can join at 50, can't you? Or 45 or something. I used to get stuff in the mail. I don't get it anymore. This is the new ad campaign for AARP. AARP is a leftist organization. If you're part of it, you probably know that. But there are benefits. They can save you money. They can do things for you. And so some people sign up and join because they want the benefit of saving the money of things that AARP is affiliated with. I've forgotten the name. I'm sorry, but it's an easy Google search. There is a conservative AARP out there. You just got to go find it. It's there. The new AARP commercial comes on TV, and it's a guy who owns a butcher shop. And he goes, our family-owned butcher shop has been here in Iowa for I don't know how many years. You couldn't look more like a Republican. And he said, generations we've passed down, we've had this butcher shop. And he says, I may not agree with everything AARP does, but they really know Social Security. And that's important to me now. Because he's going to be passing his butcher shop down to his son. He's going to retire. I want to repeat that line for you. I may not agree with everything AARP does, but they really know Social Security. So now AARP is feeling the crunch of all the people on the right, conservatives saying, we're not going to be affiliated with you. You bunch of leftist wackos. They support abortion and, I mean, you name it. They're just as leftist wacko as any outfit there is. That's what AARP does. That's who they are. That's fundamentally who they are. They didn't start doing that because of ESG or DEI or any of these other things. They've just been that forever. And people have known that. People like me. I see the thing in the mail. I could save money. I'm not signing up for that. I don't like that organization. I'm out. Now, they're advertising, and this is a terrible ad campaign. They're trying to reach out to people like us saying, we'll help you with your Social Security because you're too dumb to figure it out. We're so good at helping you with your Social Security, you should join AARP, even though we're leftist wackos. They are just asking for a boycott. They're drawing attention to themselves that they're far left. What in the world are they thinking? They're advertising in conservative places everywhere. Radio, websites, television. They're trying to reach out to the Trump voters to get them to sign up for AARP. But while they're doing it, their marketing people are so stupid. The very first line of the spot is, you may not agree with us wacky leftists, but we can help you scam the system. Whew. Some things are just amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. Air New Zealand will be weighing 10,000 passengers this month. Remember a few months ago, I talked about what would airline travel be like if they charged by the pound? What if we were just freight? Like, I weigh 50 pounds more than Jessica or whatever. I cost more than her to fly. You pay by the pound. What if we did that? Including your luggage. Oh my gosh, people wouldn't carry much luggage. That'd be easy. Now, people may dress even worse because you could get a pound or two of clothing. Maybe they should do the weight minus five so you can wear a belt and have some shoes on and things like that instead of flip-flops. Your weight minus 5 pounds. You pay that way. I don't know. I was sort of joking when I said it, but it sure would fix a lot of problems with air travel, wouldn't it? Air New Zealand is going to weigh 10,000 passengers in June, and it doesn't sound like this is optional. They're weighing them because they want to develop new averages for flights. They weigh everything on a flight. They weigh everything. They wear your luggage, the meals, the sodas, the beers, everything that comes on there. Everything on every flight is weighed except the people. And, you know, they're trying to figure out what the optimum amount of fuel is to carry, depending, you know, all these different things so they can save more money. I understand they want to do the research. Would you get on the scale? Could you do this in America? Air New Zealand's going to do it. These people were locked down. They're accustomed to being told what to do. They just follow you around, whatever. Three blind mice. Tell us what to do. We'll follow you. They'll do that for Air New Zealand. Would you do it? If they told you to get on a scale, would you do it? If you had to do it to get on the plane, you might. Wow, what a violation. That's crazy. Air New Zealand. Before we go to sports, I want to let you know that Fry Orthodontics has 13 locations in and around the Kansas City area to get your perfect smile for life. Invisalign is the same price as braces, and these folks offer wonderful treatment plans throughout the summer for your teenager to do this before school starts in the fall. Why don't you contact Fry Orthodontics? Just log on to fryorthodontics.com, find the location near you, give them a shout, let them know you heard about it on KKHI, and see if you can't help that special person in your life that you love with a perfect smile from Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Tickets for Less is online at ticketsforless.com. Here you go. College World Series, Women's College World Series, plus Royals and all kinds of specific events in Kansas City. You can save big right now. It's good until June 9th here for the Women's College World Series. That's when it ends. If you like championship baseball and softball, why wouldn't you go? Tickets for Less has you covered. Use that promo code KKHI at checkout. Tickets for Less is the official marketplace of the Big 12 Conference, so they have a great selection of tickets to every game in Oklahoma City. They also have now, was announced with many of the schools in the Big 12, four of their football games this fall. So you want to know who's you're playing on which date and what time? There you go. Order up your tickets, ticketsforless.com, and you can save big right now, including Luke Combs on June 10th. Royals, Chiefs, Sporting, KC Current, it's all right there. You always save money with the promo code KKHI at ticketsforless.com. Window World is simply the best for less. The official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs will offer you a free analysis and estimate and 0% financing available on doors, siding, and, of course, the famous Window World windows made in America with a lifetime warranty. Doesn't get any better than that. Oh, yes, it does. Their customer service is also tops anywhere in America. J.D. Power & Associates says Window World is number one for customer satisfaction. 816-799-0820. That's 816-799-0820. Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, all throughout the Midwest. It's Window World, online at windowworld.com. A lot of jibber-jabber out there about DeAndre Hopkins, the stud wide receiver, or Julio Jones, formerly a stud wide receiver, possibly coming to the Chiefs. And Chiefs fans are all up in a tizzy thinking, wow, what would that mean if we had a receiver like DeAndre Hopkins here in Kansas City? Well, it'd be pretty cool. Julio Jones probably still has something left in the tank or something left to offer. Chiefs are not the team that can guarantee the top dollar to these guys. So a lot of teams like Buffalo wants DeAndre Hopkins too. And I think that's one of the reasons Chiefs fans want him as much as anything is keep him from going to someplace like Buffalo. Hopkins has made it clear, I want to go win something. Okay, you've made all your money. You want to go win something? Let's find out how bad. Do you want to go live in Buffalo in that weather all fall and winter and play for a team that hasn't been there? Or do you want to come to Kansas City and do it here? This is interesting to me because the Chiefs are now the team that should be, in theory, they should be the team that get a lot of offensive weapon type guys toward the end of their career that have been star players that will play for much less money for a chance to come here and play with Patrick Mahomes and win a Super Bowl. That may even be looking at it like, maybe I've got a Hall of Fame career. If I can bust out two solid seasons in Kansas City and we can have a parade, I might be in the Hall of Fame someday. This should be something that the Chiefs just play and play and play every year. And they're involved in it with these guys. I don't know how it ends up, but they're involved in it with these guys. And I think it's fascinating that Kansas City's become that team. They cannot pay what other people will pay. Generally speaking, what you're going to get is these players, if somebody offers them a bunch of money to go to New England or something, they're going to go take the money and not come here. I don't know that the Chiefs can be competitive in money, but they did have a situation last year with Juju Smith-Schuster where they only paid him like $1.5 million, but he wound up making $10 million because he hit all these bonuses. And somehow these things are outside the salary cap. Some of these things had to do with playoff performance, number of snaps in the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl. These are all things apparently that are outside the cap. And if you just want to start offering DeAndre Hopkins, hey, we'll put a kick a $5 million bonus in here if we win a Super Bowl and you play in half the snaps. Okay. Everybody wins. It certainly worked out for Juju last year. I mean, amazingly worked out for him. And so that becomes the pitch that DeAndre Hopkins, you're a lot better than Juju Smith-Schuster. And look what he made last year because he all these incentives and he hit them all. Travis Kelce is thinking incentives. He's hired a Hollywood agent. Yeah, he's got a sports agent. Now Travis Kelce has a Hollywood agent. He is signed with CAA out of Hollywood. I don't know what Travis Kelce wants to be afterwards. He may just be a podcast guy. There's so much money in podcasting now. Joe Rogan's making all this money and all these other things. Travis Kelce may just have a podcast and talk about God knows what. It could be anything. But he may also want to act. My guess is we will see Travis Kelce wrestle after football and try to get in an action film. Even if at first, like he's a bad guy or something. You know, action scenes, fighting. I could see Travis Kelce being really good at that. Camera likes him. He's got a great personality. I think the bar is pretty low in a lot of action films for how good of an actor you are. We've seen plenty of supermodel women be in movies and have speaking lines that didn't embarrass themselves. He doesn't have to go out there and be, I don't even know who the best actors are. He doesn't have to go out there and be Kevin Costner, right? He can just be Travis Kelce. Yeah, I could see him in an action film, a Fast and a Furious or, you know, one of these comic book movies. Travis Kelce is signed with a Hollywood agent. He is already planning on what he's going to do after football. I say good for him. Boy, the Royals lose sometimes even when they win. Edward Olivares on Sunday hit a massive home run at Kauffman Stadium that smashed off the video board on the Hall of Fame out in left field. It hit one particular panel that had one particular fuse and power box in it, broke it right out. It went dark, broke the scoreboard. Smoke was seen coming out of the panel. It was not on fire. It was just smoking as he hit the power box directly with a 460-some-foot smash. Royals won the game. It was an otherwise great day. But even when they won, they lost a scoreboard. Good news, this won't cost the Royals a penny, and it will be fixed by the game Friday night against the Colorado Rockies. Apparently, this new video board was under warranty. Wow, that's a pretty good warranty policy when you're building a video board in a baseball park. Oh, yeah, yeah, we'll fix that for free if somebody does something wrong with a home run. That thing's sitting there every day during batting practice, too. I mean, he smoked this thing off that board, and the panel went out, and it was really cool to see the smoke coming out of it. Royals want everybody to know we got this fixed by Friday night. It's going to be good. We just put a new panel in, and the company that put it in for us is taking care of it for us. Somebody flew into KC, I'm sure, to take care of that this week. The San Diego Padres are, well, their games are televised by Bally Sports like the Royals. Bally Sports is in default. They're broke. They're in default. And in San Diego, what they've done is Major League Baseball is now taking over this network. The Royals aren't in the exact same situation as San Diego. So every contract's a little different. The Padres own part of the Bally Sports thing or the TV rights. They were more like partners instead of just selling the time. So Major League Baseball is now taking this over in market with no blackouts. They're going to triple the amount of people that will be able to watch Padres games now in the San Diego area in Southern California. And it's got a lot of people asking, is this going to happen to the Royals? I don't know why Major League Baseball doesn't just use MLB Network and on a typical day there's 15 games and put 15 or 30 teams, 30 different broadcasts in 30 different places around the country and just take it all in-house. I'm not sure I understand why they don't do that, because their partners and the way they're doing this is really bad, and they're losing customers right and left, and people don't watch the Royals anymore. They don't have it. They've cut the cord. They don't watch. The team is bad. All these things. They have got to simplify the television broadcast and make it available through any means. To me, it's just, I don't know why MLB Network doesn't take it over and put a different game on in different markets all across the country and have their own streaming platform and their own app and sell it. If people want to stream it, they can buy it. That's what streaming is. They can buy the Royals. I'm not sure I understand why they're even keeping these partnerships with some of these companies. But Bally has been in default, and obviously that's where the Royals are here. And many, 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 many of you say you don't get the games anymore. That's a sad thing. NBA Finals begin Thursday night. How about this little flair? Christian Brown, Michael Porter Jr. playing for the Nuggets. I am easily, without question, rooting for the Nuggets in this game, in this series, over the Miami Heat, and I'll be watching. I like watching the Nuggets play. Now, Brown doesn't play as much as Porter, but Nikola Jokic is one of the best players I've ever seen. He's the MVP of the league, and he's just so big and different and 7 foot whatever he is, and yet he dribbles down the floor like a point guard. I mean, he's just amazing. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Nuggets are a huge favorite in this series. Remember, the Heat were an 8 seed in the East. The Nuggets were the 1 seed in the West. And so I think Denver probably wins this series in 5 games, certainly not more than 6, but they're going to win it. It'll be their first ever. How about that? Been a pretty good run here the last year and a half for Christian Brown and Michael Porter Jr. That's a great story there. Porter Jr.'s playing great. He's hit some big-time threes in the postseason. Jamal Murray's also a freak for the Nuggets. They're a fun team. If you haven't watched the NBA, there's no politics. They're starting to, you know, run like U.S. Army commercials during the games, and give it a go. Don't watch the pregame, those people, not the pre and post, just the game. This is on ABC. Watch the game and see if you don't like it. I think you'll find that you like it, that it's interesting, it's entertaining, and there's no politics. Nothing in your face, and you might as well enjoy some basketball because, well, the Royals stink. Colorado, the Big 12, seems like a pretty much a done deal by all reports, and they believe that Arizona and Arizona State will follow. But Utah is dragging its feet because they're arrogant. There's some sort of arrogance to Utah that they want to go with USC and UCLA to the Big Ten. Good luck with that, Utah. Maybe they just don't want to be in the same conference with BYU. Hard to say. BYU, Houston, Cincinnati, and Central Florida are joining next month. They're in the Big 12 next month. Now there's all kinds of smoke around Gonzaga and UConn joining the Big 12 in basketball, that this may wind up being a 16-team football league and a 24-team basketball league, that they've got their sights on being the first mega conference for college basketball and selling those television rights separate from football. You add Gonzaga, you add UConn, you start to go cherry pick some of these. Creighton certainly would be one you'd want to go grab. It's right here. Go get Creighton. I mean, they could cherry pick all kinds of terrific basketball programs in major metropolitan areas like Omaha, add all these TV eyeballs and go sell it separately and become the first conference that really uses basketball as a huge mechanism to generate revenue and not just attach it to football. It's interesting. Splitting anything 24 ways dilutes it. Once you start adding 24, you're diluting it a bunch, but it's a pretty interesting concept. If they add Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah for football, they can go pick off all the Creightons of the world. Wichita State, maybe? There's all kinds of possibilities here. If you're going to 24 schools, San Diego State would certainly fit into that. There's some good basketball schools out there. Gonzaga, many of them on the West Coast. You can convince them, even if they do have a football program, to come be in your league in basketball and be part of that package because the finances will be so good. I could see this happening. I could see this happening. Very, very interesting what's going on there. All right, our final is brought to you by Cross Kitchens KC, Kansas City's remodeler, online at crosskitchenskc.com. North Kansas City Dental, he's your new dentist, an award-winning dentist. He speaks around the country about high-tech dentistry. He's a select group of dentists with a mastership in the Academy of General Dentistry. Dr. Bill Bush also started Team Smile. What a philanthropic dude he is. 50,000 kids have received free dental treatment through this program that they started. He's got offices in North Kansas City and Westwood, 816-471-2911, online at nkcdental.com. And Amazing Garage Floors, and that is where our final really pops up, because on my Amazing Garage Floor yesterday, amazinggaragefloors.net, you can call Hutch at 913-901-7139. On my garage floor yesterday, as Jessica was getting ready to, she was leaving. I don't know, she's putting the trash out. I don't know what was going on. I am just getting ready to start recording the podcast. Typically, that's around 8 a.m. So I'm just getting ready to start recording. And she peeks her head in the door, which doesn't happen very often. And she goes, you got to help me. You got to come see this in the garage. I'm like, uh-oh. I'm immediately thinking there's a snake. She goes, there's a baby snake in the garage and it's got to go. And I said, what kind of it? It's just probably just a black snake. She said, I couldn't see any diamonds or spots or anything like that. I said, okay. So I go up and I open the garage door because she's kept it closed. I'm not sure why. I think she didn't want to disturb it and have it squirm off and get in a garden tool or something where we couldn't get to it. It was sitting in an open spot toward the back of the garage, toward the front of the garage, I guess, by where the garage door opens, near my car. Really close to where we step into the garage. First thing I do is I hit the button and open the door. If that thing wants to get scared and crawl out, let it go. If it goes somewhere else, we'll figure it out. I'll call Advantage or whatever. If he goes crawling up in a box or something, I don't think about handling a snake. I'll call Advantage Pest Control. So he doesn't move. Perfect. So I go get the broom and I'm going to start sweeping him out. And he's probably about 8 or 9 inches long is all. To start sweeping him out. And I do, and it rolls him over. And on the underside, he's kind of brown or light brown. I said, Jessica, what kind of snake is this? She's standing in the house. The door is open. She's just watching from the house. She says, it's a black snake. I said, it's an earthworm. She said, no, it's not. Now, I'm not the kind of guy that just picks an earthworm up and throws him out in the dirt. So I went and got a little rake and picked him up with the rake and tossed him out in the yard. I guess all the rain that we got flushes the worms out of the ground. They don't know where to go. And so they come and squeeze in under the garage door. We had a panic on our Amazing Garage Floor for a snake, which we've still not seen one on our property. We've been here a year and a half and haven't seen one yet. Amazingly, because we saw a turtle yesterday, the biggest turtle I've ever seen, the biggest snapping turtle I've ever seen. I looked it up. I think this dude was at least 10 inches, 11 inches long. Massive turtle. You could tell he was old. He's just hanging out in the street. My dog's going crazy after him on a leash. Can't get to him because snapping turtle bite his head off probably. So we go out and look at this thing and I go online. I look it up. I think this turtle was like at least 50 years old. This is the oldest, biggest turtle I've ever seen. They can live to be 100 or more, the snapping turtles. We got critters out here is my point. We have turkeys every morning. Almost every morning we have turkeys in the backyard. But we got hawks. We got big hawks. And so we really haven't seen mice and snakes, which is kind of cool. It's a cool thing. So we are still, knock wood, still been snake free. We simply had an earthworm in the garage. It caused panic. And it also caused Kevin Keatsman Has Issues to be posted about 7 or 8 minutes later yesterday than we would have posted it. I guess that's okay. We love having fun with our final at KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. to get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.